Tango Tango Papa, 1826, March 4th, 2014.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this afternoon. I guess it's really more early this evening from San Antonio, Texas. So I think I recorded the last podcast maybe when I was at Russellville, Arkansas. And so I ended up spending the night there and got out of there the next morning, and of course it was raining. It was about maybe 39 degrees there at Russellville, and then as I headed west, temperature dropped, and by the time I made it over into Oklahoma and started running into bad weather, it was mostly sleet. In most of the areas, I think some areas did receive ice, freezing rain, but mostly it was sleet, and so it was patchy. So I would go, there would be a part where the road would be completely covered, and then you'd run into areas where it was completely dry, or and you know, varying degrees in between, and it was like that all the way through Oklahoma into North Texas. Same thing. There would be areas where it was not so bad, and then there would be areas where it was, especially little local areas, where it was very heavy. And of course, covering the road. And neither Oklahoma or Texas do very much about removing frozen stuff from the road. They're just not prepared to do it. They do a little bit of it, but not very much. And the primary thing is that it's going to melt off, and it usually does, but it can be kind of treacherous in between times. So the that day, you know, it would have normally been a one day's drive. It was about 590 miles from Russellville to Buda, Texas, which is just south of Austin. However, because much of the time I was limited to driving about 35 or 40 miles an hour, it took a lot of extra hours. And so I ended up stopping. I did go ahead, and I'm glad I did it. The GPS, the Garmin indicated that there was a real traffic problem in Dallas, which I had already kind of anticipated. So it routed me from Denison. It had me go west on, I think it's U.S. Highway 82, over to Interstate 35 South. And then that goes in, and then take that into Fort Worth, 35 West into Fort Worth. And kind of avoid Dallas completely. I was looking at the TomTom traffic map for Dallas, and it was a complete disaster area. Those people probably sat there forever. They may still be sitting. I doubt if they're still sitting there, but after a couple of days, but it looked like there were just horrific backups. So in any case, made it through Fort Worth pretty well. It was pretty nice. The roads were pretty dry in Fort Worth. But then once I made it to Hillsboro, Texas, where the roads join back up, there's probably a 10-mile radius area around Hillsboro, received maybe 5 to 10 miles, received a lot of ice. And so those roads, the interstate, was just pretty much completely ice-covered. And of course, then the traffic had to slow down, and of course, Hillsboro is where I was supposed to stop and get fuel at, and that, of course, it's a Love's truck stop, and I knew it was going to be a kind of a disaster area with that much ice. There'd be the place would be jammed because even on a normal time, perfectly dry road at that time of night, that particular truck stop is probably not going to have any parking in it. So add to that the problem of getting out of the driveway. Their exit it's kind of on an incline, and that was ice covered, and so a lot of trucks, if they didn't really make a run at it, they were getting stuck and they'd have to keep trying, and eventually they'd get out. So I was there for a whole, pretty much an entire hour just getting fuel, just kind of going through the process of getting fuel. So I made it out of there, and I had about an hour and 8 minutes left that I could drive, but I went ahead and decided I would go ahead and stop. There's a Walmart there at Hillsboro that is right now, it's on, I could make the decision either to go on the on-ramp or keep in the right lane and go to Walmart. And so I went to Walmart, and there were a bunch of other trucks already parked in there. And there was room for a few more, and so I was able to back in with those other trucks, and that's where I took my break at. And got up the next morning, and it's still frozen there, but somewhat south of there on towards Waco, the roads were kind of dry again. And then I ran into more ice that was just south of Waco. There was probably a 2 or 3 mile section where it was really super icy. And that caused another traffic slowdown. And then after that, the roads were pretty good. They were clear. And so I made it to Buda, Texas by about 12:30 in the afternoon. And they ended up making me come back this morning, because the original appointment was at 6 a.m. And that's a lot of those places schedule their docks. And that particular place there, I think the latest appointment they have is like 1 p.m. is the latest appointments that they set. And at that point, things are really starting to wind down. And so they said, nope, you'll have to come back tomorrow. Or, or you can spend the night. They have a parking lot right there outside of their guard shack. And so they've got, you can park a bunch of trucks in there. And so I went after I found out it was going to be the next morning. Then there's a Cabela's at that exit. Cabela's is one of these giant stores. It's an outdoor camping type stuff, all kinds of stuff they sell. They're huge stores. They even have a restaurant inside. And a lot of them have truck parking. This particular one, I was able to look on the Google Earth satellite view and see they had a nice large truck parking area. So I went over there and kind of hung out for a while and walked in the store and shopped and what have you. And then I ate in the restaurant, and then after I ate, I went back over to the other place and parked and hung out. And then this morning I got up and checked in with them, and they backed me into a door right away, but they didn't get to it right away. And the guy warned me that it was probably going to be later. He said 1 o'clock, and it ended up being more like 2 o'clock by the time they got finished. So in the meantime, they rescheduled the other appointment. It was supposed to be, the San Antonio appointment was supposed to be at 8 a.m. And they rescheduled it for tomorrow. I think it tomorrow at 8 a.m. So I'll leave this Flying J and I'll go over there, and I'll spend the night there, take my break there on, because they've got room there to park, and check in with them in the morning and get unloaded. So. But in the meantime, last night there at Buda, Texas, there was a period there where there was a lot of lightning, and it was kind of a little bit of a thunderstorm going on. But the only problem was that the surface air was kind of cold, and so it did get down to about 30 degrees, as low as 30 degrees. So when I got up this morning, it was there were icicles kind of dripping from the truck. Now the ground was warm enough; the ground did not freeze, but I would assume that any kind of bridges or elevated roadways or overpasses did freeze, but the roads themselves, anything that was on the ground wasn't frozen. But I had to be very careful climbing in and out of the truck because the truck steps was completely coated with ice. So then later in the morning, then all of that melted, and so now it's everything's pretty much dried off, and you can't even, at this point, you really can't even see that there was any rain, at least, anywhere around here. But again, I don't know if it's supposed to maybe rain some more this evening or sometime overnight or not. It weather widget, when I looked at it earlier today, seemed to indicate that, but then that's always subject to change, so just have to... Whatever happens, it will happen, and I'll deal with it. So, in any case, so I've been playing some more with the phone, and with the Galaxy Samsung Galaxy Note 3, and the longer I have it, the more impressed I become with it. A lot of times now they'll call you on a cell phone. You give them your cell number and they'll call you and tell you, that either to back into a door or to come in and get your paperwork or whatever. And so I'd given them my cell number, this place where I unloaded at today, and the guy called me, and so I answered it, and it was very interesting because the call quality was spectacular. It sounded like a Skype call, and this was a regular phone call, but it really had great sound quality. And now I know Skype, maybe to begin with, Skype wasn't always that great, but Skype, in recent years, they've continued to refine it, and it's really, really good. So this sounded really good, and as it turns out, a number of the Galaxy phones have what's called, or at least circuitry for what's called HD voice or wideband audio. And I guess Sprint has been kind of implementing that in certain markets, and the Austin market is obviously one of them. But in order to get that, and I don't know if this was, it had to be the case that the guy that was calling me also had a Sprint phone that had wideband audio capability. I didn't get a chance to ask him about it or anything, but it had to be because... after that, I this afternoon I Googled and I found an article that was kind of talking about this, and all of the carriers are planning on implementing it, but it's going to take up. They're more worried at this point about 4G, and so at first it's probably, once they implement it, it's going to work on if you're a customer of the same cell company and. You both have capable devices, then you'll be able to have this wideband audio kind of phone call experience. But if you're going from one carrier to another, at first it's probably not going to support it sort of cross carrier. But eventually it probably will. So one of the nice benefits of all of these cell phone upgrades is going to be, eventually, we're going to have really high-quality phone calls. But it was startling. It was like, wow, I can't believe that this sounds so good. So that's something to kind of look forward to. And there's a lot of phones, like an iPhone 5. In this article, it named a bunch of phones, popular phones, and the iPhone 5 was one of them that does support HD voice. But you have to, again, you'd have to be on an HD voice carrier and or in an area where it was where it has been implemented on the actual cellular equipment. So some, you know, two customers on Sprint, for example, in Austin, if they both had iPhones, or if they both had Galaxy Note 3s, for example, or other Galaxy phones that support it, and there's some other phones that do as well, other brands, as long as they were on the same carrier, it should support it. And there's a list of phones that do already, you know, have the circuitry that can support it. So it's just a matter of the carriers implementing it. And as I say, they're more, at this point, they've been more, really more concerned with the with the 4G itself. But I guess Sprint's been so far behind on 4G that they're just kind of doing it as they go. I don't know if they've... There's a list in this article of cities where they've implemented it, but the Sprint 4G is showing up in other places, and so their network is going to improve. They just got kind of behind the eight ball, and I think they, because they've made some bad decisions in the past, sort of bad management decisions. Kind of going with WiMAX was one of the problems that they. You know, this, the WiMAX is their 4G. That was a huge mistake, and it's really cost them dearly in terms of money and customers. It's a wonder they're still around after making a mistake like that. And then, of course, another mistake that they made a number of years ago was acquiring Nextel. That was a big mistake too. So Sprint's made their share of mistakes. So hopefully, since this Japanese company has kind of bought controlling interest to Sprint and sort of, you know, got control of it, hopefully they'll sort of straighten them out and prevent them from making any more huge blunders. You know, because it's tough enough. I would think it would be tough enough to just be in the cell business and do what you're supposed to do without, you know, taking some initiative like, you know, buy this company out, or we're going to pick a technology that turns out to be a loser. Without them doing something really dumb like that, it's kind of like you see the cartoon where people start tripping on something, and each new thing they trips them worse, and that was kind of Sprint, and also BlackBerry it's been kind of the same thing. Each move they made, it's like, you know, this is an even bigger mistake. Why are you doing this? To a certain extent, HP did that too. So I don't know. I think it's going to get better. But if you're on a carrier that has HD, if they're talking about this HD HD voice or wideband audio, it's something to look out for, because the quality is amazingly different than what you're used to on, especially on a cell call. So anyway, what I wanted to kind of talk briefly about, there's tons of people that are unhappy, and of course I am for a long time I've been surrounded by truck drivers, and there's plenty of them that are unhappy. And they think they're unhappy because of the job. Now, it is possible to kind of be I don't know if I would say unhappy, but it is possible to be miserable if you're not compatible with, if you're not really compatible with the job, then it's certainly possible to be kind of miserable. But the kind of unhappiness that I see driving most people, they have this idea somehow that they'll be able to, all they have to do is just change their circumstances. They're going to do, you know, in the case of a truck drivers, you know, it's the big thing is, oh, I don't want to be gone. I want to be home more often. And they think, well, if I could be home every night, I'd be happy. Or happier. And of course, it doesn't work that way, you know. So regardless of whether you're a truck driver or not, or whatever it is that you're doing, or whatever your life circumstance is, whatever circumstance you've kind of gotten yourself into, or that you've fallen into, if you're unhappy, simply changing the circumstances isn't going to make you happy. It can't. It can't. You know, it can maybe be a less, you know, kind of less anxiety circumstance, but it's not going to make, if you don't already have it, it's not going to, you're not going to find it there. And in fact, you stand a good chance of jumping from the frying pan into the fire. Now, a number of years ago, I worked at iClinic as a computer network administrator. I always thought, well, boy, that'd be a neat job to have. And as it turns out, it wasn't. It might be for some people, but I found that I'm not suited for it, primarily because, not necessarily because the computers weren't the problem, the people that used them were. And I just, and the other thing, I do not do well in a sort of a contained office environment where I'm kind of in the same place all the time. And I did not realize that really before this, you know, before working in that eye clinic, I did not really realize that it did kind of bother me to sort of be cooped up in the, you know, little cubbyhole all the time. So, going back to driving a truck, you know, that was a case where, you know, it was, I felt like a, you know, like I was swimming upstream, but I had no illusions that it was, that I was going to quit and go back to driving a truck and suddenly be happy. I knew that wasn't going to be the case. So, but a lot of people think that, well, I'll do this and it'll make me happy, or I'll do that and it'll make me happy, or I'll buy this and it'll make me happy, or I'll marry this person or that person and it'll make me happy, or in some kind, sometimes people think, oh, I'll get married and have children and I'll be happy, and so on and so forth. And people have these ideas that are sort of, you know, they're there, and, you know, sort of, it's like an if only type of thing. If only this, if only that, I'll be happy. And of course, it's not, it's a lie. But on the other hand, oftentimes it's necessary for people to find out. The only way you're going to find out that it's not, that it's the lie, is if you can't see the lie ahead of time, then the only way you're going to find out that the lie lies is to go through the experience. And that's what this life in part is about, is that you're going through the experience to find out that the lie really does lie. That which appeals to the rotten side of your ego really does lie, and its purpose ultimately is to kill you and make you really miserable in the process. But the idea that if you just made more money, or you had more money if you were born rich, or you'd win the lottery is another big one. that you're suddenly just going to be happy. And, you know, and of course it's not, that's a lie. You know, you look at 50% of the people that win lotteries, and you come back, you know, a little while later, sometimes 5 years later, and they may be dead, or the people around them are dead, or they're divorced, or they're bankrupt, and they're worse off financially before they ever won the lottery. It ruins their lives, and the reason it does is because it allows the rotten side of their ego to suddenly run wildly out of control. You know, and you allow that thing, if it can run wildly out of control, you're in big trouble. And that's one of the problems with the idea of socialism and communism. Because they sort of, if you really look at it objectively, what socialism and communism try to do is sort of push people, encourage people through the state, encourage them to sin, to break the Ten Commandments. You know, and you can look at any socialist country or communist country or corrupted country, and inevitably the government is going to try to get people, compel people, encourage people, compel people to break those Ten Commandments. And you don't think, okay, thou shalt not kill? Kill your baby. Go ahead, kill your baby. We're going to make it easier. We're going to make it cheaper for you to kill your baby than to raise it. You know, it's going to cost you $6,000 for an abortion, but, you know, it would cost you way, you know, multiple times of that to actually have the kid and raise it. So, you know, why go through the inconvenience? Just commit murder. Commit murder and be done with it, and you'll be happy. And, of course, you're not. You're worse. Once they can get you to do that, once someone can encourage you to commit, to break one or more of those commandments, you're screwed. Because then that conscience that is there, sort of telling you. Without words, it's sort of telling you that these commandments are lines that you do not cross. You cross them at your own peril. Once you violate that, once you cross that line, once you've, you know, in this case, committed murder, aborted your child, you committed murder, broke one of the big Ten Commandments, then you're enemies with that conscience. You're enemies with that natural, indwelling conscience, whatever it is that would guide you. You're enemies with it. It's your enemy, and so then you run, causes you to run into the arms of the people around you. Right is wrong, wrong is right. Find other murderers that tell you that'll help you justify it, that it's really okay to kill your baby. It's cheaper, it's easier on the baby, would want to be dead rather than be alive, so on and so forth. We'll just have pride marches. We'll, you know, kill your baby pride marches. And we'll all believe that it's okay, and so therefore it takes the guilt away. But of course that's a lie too. It doesn't. We'll all believe the same way and we'll all be happy. Oh, no, you won't. But you have to find that out in many cases. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. Thy neighbor's wife and the belongings and your neighbor's belongings and so on and so forth. What's socialism about? oh, we're gonna have income redistribution. So in other words, you're gonna steal from your neighbor so that you can sit on your lazy ass and do whatever it is you do. And there's more and more of those people in this country than ever before. And so they make it easier just to sit around and do nothing and collect some pittance of a check than to work. Now, before you go all ballistic, there are people, I'm not suggesting that everybody get cut off, there are people that are disabled, there are people that are retired, so on and so forth, that should collect some sort of a check. I'm not saying that we should just all or nothing, it will just completely do away with it. It needs to be restrained. But of course, what allows it to go out of control is parents spoil their kids, and they've been doing it generation after generation. And now it's to a critical mass, and the United States of America is just, it's turned into a hellhole. And it's going to get, you think it's bad? It's going to get way worse. Before it's all over with, we're going to either end up in a civil war, or there's going to be, people invading, outside influences invading. You know, what if Putin turns out to be the next Adolf Hitler? What's going to stop him? Nothing. Because we're too concerned with frivolities. Have 26-year-old quote-unquote kids still on mommy and daddy's insurance. Or kids, quote-unquote, that are 35 years old that still live at home. Because life is just too hard. Oh, you poor little thing. Life's just so hard. So the idea is, even if you're penalized for doing the right thing, even if you're penalized for keeping those Ten Commandments, you're far better off keeping those Ten Commandments. Believe me, you may think you're going to get some little advantage right now by breaking those. By following the other people around you off the cliff and breaking the commandments, just because, but besides that, the government has sanctioned it, so therefore I can do it, I can officially do it, and it should be okay, right? Wrong. You do the right thing, even if it seems to you're at a disadvantage for doing it. Because you do the wrong thing for the wrong reasons. You do the wrong thing and break any one of those commandments. And you lose. You lose here and now. You lose right away. Any shot that you have of any kind of peace of mind is gone. And as you descend, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And then you have to have more and more, greater and greater distractions to try to hide from that conscience that sears. You're running away from. It just gets bigger and badder. So anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off, and it's, what is it, about 7 o'clock. So here in a bit, after I get this uploaded, I'm going to go ahead and go inside the truck stop here and get see if I can't get something else to eat and eat again. I had a kind of a late lunch, but I there at Cabela's, but I hadn't eaten anything since yesterday evening, so I'm starting to get hungry again. Not quite yet, but I will be within the next hour or so. So, by the way, I was talking to my parents. They call, sometimes they'll call every day, or it just depends. Sometimes they'll go a couple of days without calling. But anyway, lately they've been kind of complaining about their phone, and I told them I got a new phone. You know, of course, they've been using tablets now for probably about a year, I don't know, year and a half. Both, you know, Android tablets as well as iPad. And so they really know how those things work now. And they've gotten where they can, you know, because at first they were awkward, you know, using the touch screen. They'd hit it wrong, and the thing, you know, they wouldn't hit it quite right. And so that over time, you learn how to touch the screen and get it to respond to you, and you know, how to avoid the mistakes. And so they've done that. So at this point, I think that they could easily run a smartphone, because if they can run a tablet, they can easily run a smartphone. So I think there's probably a good chance that they're going to end up, because I was telling Mom especially about this Galaxy Note 3, and you know, that large 5.7 inch screen, that's big enough where both of them, yeah, especially her, but both of them can kind of easily see it. And so I think there's probably a good chance that they may get one of those. But at first they, oh, we don't need a smartphone, and that's been going on for a while. But after they've had these tablets, they see the benefit of the tablets, and I don't know that they even turn their computer on. Maybe once in a while they've had a laptop computer for a number of years, more than one, in fact. And so I think there's a good chance they're going to end up switching to a smartphone. So, and one nice thing about the Note 3, it doesn't have as good a battery life as one of those old flip phones does, but it's got pretty good battery life compared to other smartphones. The Note 3's got some pretty good battery life. So it'll depending on what you do with it, it'll go, it'll keep going for hours. And one of the things that they say is that if the actual talk time, so, you know, the thing's at 100% battery and you start on a call, they're claiming, and I believe them, I don't have any reason to doubt them, they're claiming you could talk on that thing for 32 hours before the battery would go dead. That's lots of talk time. So, but anyway, from sort of a, well, it's dark now, about a 40, probably 45 degrees, San Antonio, Texas, overcast. See what happens tonight. See, you know, and if it'll clear off eventually. So anyhow, I hope everyone is having a great week so far, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.